Hey, we're on. Ritzy.
Carmine.
It's been a while, so women.
I know, women, we're back.
Yes.
But can I start with my obligatory PDC plug?
Yes.
PDC registration is open. Go and register. I'm going to do that every time between now and October.
Excellent.
So we are here with Jasmine Park today.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hey.
Hey, Jasmine. I love your first name. That's great.
Thank you. I chose it.
How so?
I didn't actually choose it.
Oh. Maybe you changed your name.
I like taking credit for anything people say.
Nice.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do?
So I'm a program manager in Windows Live. I work on two products, Windows Live SkyDrive and FolderShare, specifically the website for FolderShare.
What's SkyDrive?
So SkyDrive is a way for Windows Live customers to be able to reserve 5 gigabytes of space in the sky, essentially, and just upload files to it and share them out with friends.
For free?
For free, absolutely free.
That's
and
cool.
We've been about for about a year or so now, and we're upping limits all the time and trying to improve the features, of course. And FolderShare is a way for people to sync their files across all their computers and to share those with friends, and it's all P2P at that point. There's no server storage or anything.
That's great. How long have you been at Microsoft?
I've been at Microsoft for a little over 4 years now. Yeah.
And what did you do before that?
I graduated from Penn, and I worked for 2.5 years in D.C. at a tech startup, a tech consulting startup, actually. And I did UI design there and consulting.
So what's your background? Like, what did you major in? Are you kind of a techie, or?
So I'm one of those people, I think, that who comes from a humanities background, and I picked up tech after I graduated from school. So I studied English at Penn, and I was actually planning on becoming an academic. I got my master's and undergrad degrees at the same time, and spent about a year and a half assuming that I was going to go into academia. And about the summer of my junior year, I started rethinking that as I'd spent more time in grad classes and thinking whether I really wanted that career. And so my senior year, Penn has a lot of recruiting, and so I started interviewing for consulting jobs. And fortunately, a lot of consulting companies are very open to hiring people with different backgrounds other than specifically business or tech. So I got a job at the tech consulting company, and I was lucky because they were willing to train me and ramp me up on a lot of stuff I didn't know yet, for instance, front-end coding. And so I learned how to actually both do UI design and code it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for a little over 2 years. It was an amazing experience, and that's really how I got my foot in the door at Microsoft.
What was your first job at Microsoft?
I was a program manager on MSN Messenger at the time. Now it's Windows Live Messenger. But that was an amazing experience, actually, because when I was interviewing at Microsoft, I was interviewing for a job on essentially the AOL compete that we had. And right after I interviewed and got my offer and accepted, there was a big reorg in all of MSN. And so when I came, they told me I was actually going to be working on MSN Messenger, which was fantastic because it was a product. It was one of the Microsoft products I was most excited about even before I joined or interviewed. And so I was really lucky that I actually got to work on a piece of software that I personally used and was passionate about and felt the impact that a product like that can have on millions and millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even today, I consider myself really lucky to work on products today that I love as well. FolderShare I've been using. Microsoft acquired FolderShare. They were a startup out of Austin, and we acquired them about 2 years ago. And I've been using FolderShare religiously for a year before that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really glad that we acquired them, and then I ended up working on it. And so I've been really lucky so far in terms of the projects I've been working on.
What's the best kept secret about FolderShare that our customers don't realize?
FolderShare has some amazing features, and it's kind of a tough sell for customers because, unfortunately, to really understand the value of it, you have to use very, very techie terms like synchronize and roaming and
Even file share. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's both good and bad because right now we know that the average customer, you know, your mother or your grandparents doesn't really do that yet. So this is a way for Microsoft to be able to make that kind of commitment to those customers and try to bring them into the new age of being able to store your files online and feel like they're always available even if your computer at home crashes. So FolderShare is really about that, and the scenarios that have most excited me as a consumer are really sharing with friends because it's so much easier just to get a file from A to B when you've installed FolderShare and set up a folder that syncs and you know that everything is going to be everywhere, and so it feels a lot more safe. Is that when I go home and I haven't forgotten that one doc that was on my office computer. Also, we have tunneling, which is a nice little hidden feature of FolderShare that I think is like probably the third bullet point when we run down the list of features. So that's where you can go to the FolderShare website from anywhere at all and download files remotely. It's the kind of feature you don't use all that often, but the one time where you really, really needed something while you were on vacation, you know you can always do that. So
That's cool.
Did you know that we had tunneling?
I did not know you had tunneling. There'll be, you know, fathers and grandmothers all around the world very excited about that feature.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you something because we consistently end up naming technologies too complicated, right? Like, we're a very IQ-focused company, right? And, you know, cleverness is something that we need to work on. So, you know, you think about it, Apple comes up with Mobile Me. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Mobile Me. I don't have to be a scientist to understand it. We come up with Live Mesh. The hell does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, this is another case. Folder share is sort of kind of clear what it is. You share stuff, share folders. But who comes up with these names? I mean, once and for all. Who's coming up with this stuff?
It's a clear name in terms of what it does. It's explanatory. But it's a geeky name.
It's a totally
geeky
name.
That's not how consumers think.
No. Is it targeted towards consumers or developers?
So FolderShare, really, the product name is something that we acquired from the company, honestly. The software's been called that for
all
this time. So it's
brand equity.
Yeah, so it's not something that Microsoft necessarily branded. But SkyDrive is an example of a product that we made completely in-house and shipped and branded. And I think SkyDrive happens to be a product that is named well.
Absolutely. It's cool.
Yeah, it speaks, I think, a little bit more emotionally to users. It sounds a little dreamy, a little modern.
Yes.
And so I think people can really relate to that. Of course, any program manager, anyone who's ever had to be a part of branding, whether it just be your feature, because, for instance, feature names always have to get signed off on, or an entire product, we know the pains that we go through. It's really like anything at Microsoft where looking at it from the outside, it's often easy to think, oh, why does it work that way? Who thought of that? Why didn't they test that? And for people who work at Microsoft, and we know how smart people are and how thoughtful people are when they do their jobs, there's always a backstory. There's always some reason why something was extra hard to do.
Sure.
And so probably with branding stuff, having some experience with this from Messenger and Windows Live generally, there is a branding team. These are the folks who are smart enough to know what the names are out there on the market and the industry that we can trademark. And so Microsoft has to go through a bunch of hoops when we do things like branding. And yes, it's extremely time-consuming and often frustrating because we can't get the names that we want. But it's sort of the responsibility, I think, as a company that we bear and to make sure that we've dotted our I's, crossed our T's, and that we actually can own something that we want.
That's true, but just to say again, I mean, there are other companies that they come up with good names consistently.
It's true.
So I would argue that we need to go interview the branding team. But no, that's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, if we compare ourselves to Apple, which we do every day probably, I'm guessing this happens across the entire board, because in every way we can think, wow, their user interface is amazing. Why don't we do it that way? And so, again, there's a history, and there's also, honestly, there is an aesthetic to Microsoft and Windows Live products. Yes, most consumers maybe would look at it and think, wow, the iPod's amazing, and X product is not so much, but we're always trying to get better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what do you like most about working at Microsoft?
Gosh, I would say I think the diversity in roles is definitely amazing. So when I worked at the startup in D.C., I was employee number 32 or something like that. It was a tiny, tiny company, and it was about 200 by the time I left. But I got a taste for what it's like to work at a tiny company where you don't have an admin who's going to buy all of your hardware for you. You literally have to do everything in your job to make sure it can happen. And I think a lot of people who start out at Microsoft daydream a lot about what that must be like. It's always the grass is greener kind of thing. And so having come from that to Microsoft, I think I have a tremendous appreciation for how much better the systems get and the processes get as you grow and mature. For instance, our review system, a lot of people talk about that, but it is amazing to see how many strides we've made there, where you fill out your review every 6 months, and I'm amazed that they can have one review system that works for an entire company.
Mm-hmm.
And the connector is another employee benefit. Yes, it's recent, but I actually put it right up there with our medical plan and the review plan. Like, I mean, it's amazing to have a benefit like that, a free shuttle system for all Microsoft employees. I live downtown, so every day I'm glad that we have that. And so those kinds of benefits are huge, and I definitely consider them a part of my job. In addition, I mentioned the diversity of roles. I know that I started out as a program manager, and a lot of people I admire and have seen succeed here have been able to switch roles. And it can feel daunting, but you know you're within Microsoft, so it's sort of a known thing. It's not the same as moving to a startup, for instance. And so I love knowing that there are those opportunities for me out there if I ever start getting curious and want to change roles. So those are all huge benefits, I think.
What about diversity in thinking? So you have an English major, you're not a highly technical person, sounds like you're kind of more on the UX side a bit.
Definitely.
How are you, you know, thought of and appreciated in your group in terms of the perspective, the different perspective that you bring from, like, the developers?
Yeah, so program management, first of all, I think is a role that enables you to have more of a UX background and be able to drive value to your team for that. So I know that it's the right role for me, definitely right now, and I love working on products. But I happen to work on a team right now in Windows Live where my GPM, for instance, UX is very, very important to him. And so it's important to him to have a program management team that he knows he can trust each of us to make decisions day to day that result in a product that is worth using and feels usable to our customers. So I know that it's good for me. I happen to love design personally as well. And so being able to figure out how features are going to work and whether customers are going to enjoy using them, I love doing that every day and problem solving that way.
Mm-hmm. So what do you want to do next?
It's a good question. I'm not really sure yet. Right now I happen to work in an org again. Like I said, UX is very, very valuable. So I think that I'm probably always going to stay in that realm, whatever I do. And right now it's just past my 4-year mark, and so I'm trying to look around my org and potentially in other orgs to see what other folks who are a little bit senior above me are doing and how they've done it. And so it's kind of a good time for me to think about that, but I'm really, really happy doing what I'm doing and working on what we're doing, and shipping this year's cycle is going to be really exciting, I think, for the whole org.
So let's talk a little bit about your perspective as a female, because this is Women in Technology. So as a woman at Microsoft or in high tech in general, what's been your experience and how do you feel about the opportunity for, you know, young females who are thinking about getting into high tech?
I'm definitely excited again to see how Microsoft is really trying to encourage women to not only accept offers, internships, jobs here, but also to find ways of encouraging them to stay by setting examples. Especially in product development, there aren't that many women, unfortunately. I think that there are probably other orgs where I would encounter more women day-to-day than doing what I'm doing today. And so I do feel like there's some responsibility as a woman, as a program manager, to make sure that other women on my team, that I can try to start setting an example like that for them. Now that, again, I've been here for a couple years now. And when I meet female interns, for instance, on our team, I definitely try to encourage them to participate in some of the women events that Microsoft sponsors every year. I think the Women's Conference is a great thing. It's a good example of, I hear plenty of jokes about it, of course, you know, teasing jokes from guys at the company who wonder why there's not a men's conference at Microsoft, of course. I tell them that
it's a men's conference every day.
Exactly. But there's definitely a lot of networking opportunities that Microsoft provides, and so I strongly encourage other women to think about that. I mean, as much as I'd like to say that it's not different being a woman, I think that, sure, there is a difference. I mean, the women at some point have to make decisions that, for instance, whether you're going to have a family, at what stage in your career you're going to do that. Are you going to go back to your career with as much focus and drive as you might have before you had kids? I don't have a family yet, but I know that those are issues that are going to arise in my life at some point. So when I'm finding women mentors, I'm always really interested to hear their perspectives on those things as well, as much as the job opportunities they've taken, the kind of life decisions they had to make as a result of that. And fortunately, more and more women, I think, are sticking around in product roles for longer. And so as I continue working here, I'm looking forward to seeing how those mentors continue to work here and how they can balance their families versus their careers.
Was there any difference in the way that you were treated being a woman in a very small startup versus working at a huge corporation?
Probably. I think that proportionally, there are probably the same number of women there, especially as the company got bigger, as there are that I work with day-to-day here. But coincidentally, when I was working at that startup, we did a lot of government contracts. And so I was actually on site, for instance, naval bases, doing web portals for these big organizations. And there I felt like I was the only woman in the room a lot of the time. And once in a while, I feel that way here, too, I think, especially as we have really technical discussions and we're in the middle of a process. And, you know, I'm in a room and I know that I'm only the only woman, and I am conscious of that. I don't necessarily behave any differently, but I think as a woman, you can't help but notice that once in a while and hope that over time it's going to become better where it really isn't an issue. But I was lucky when I first joined Messenger because the program management team on that there happened to be equally split 50-50, and there were a bunch of women leads on that team as well. So when I first joined Microsoft, I felt really comfortable almost instantly.
Very cool.
Excellent. And that's important because if you only have a bunch of knuckle draggers designing and developing software, and they're going to be targeting at, they're going to be targeting their own kind. So I guess my point is, it's really important to have more than just men and women, but diversity across the board, because there's a diverse set of people that actually use software. So that's sort of like the premise of what we're doing here. We're focusing it on women and technology.
Mm-hmm.
So how many more women do you interact with on a day-to-day basis? I mean, you have a bunch of peers that are females?
There are a couple other... My PM team happens to be pretty small. I think there are... it's just me and another girl right now, mm-hmm. although we've had girl interns in the past and another woman on the team. And right now, there aren't that many devs or testers either who are female on my team, and so it's something that, I'm aware of, mm-hmm. and I would love to see change, and I think... management on our team and in the org generally is we're very interested in trying to recruit more women. And I think Windows Live, because it's more consumer focused and very UX oriented, I think it's attractive to female candidates. And so I can't wait to see the org grow. I certainly hope it happens.
Great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting point, right?
Yeah, it totally is.
Because in the end, you're designing user experience and user interface, which are going to be used by people. So that's where diversity really matters.
Yeah, it reflects our customer base.
Yes.
Absolutely, totally.
Whereas opposed to writing code down in the
kernel. Having just a bunch of engineers would not,
So we should. That's something that we should probably focus on, is try to find some kernel developer women.
We've tried.
Well, there is one. She's been on Channel 9 already.
There's one.
Token.
But I mean, there's something.
I know.
There's something, and that's a different argument or a different study. I know a lot of women that are really, really good in math and love math, but they don't go into developing software. They go into being on the design team or being a PM or managing a group of people. Even though they love math and say even writing code, they don't want to spend all day writing code.
Right.
But you yourself wrote code.
Yeah, I did front end still. Yeah. I haven't done that in a while, but it does make it a little bit easier to design for the web. And when I was working on Messenger, that was client code, and so the experience of switching from client to web has also been really interesting. I think the web space in Windows Live is very dynamic and changes a lot. But I agree that diversity is good in the workplace as well. And honestly, I think it makes it a more fun environment to work in,
yes.
frankly. And I feel like there are quite a lot of people on my team who are actually just interesting people, and I enjoy going to lunch with them. And we don't talk about work stuff mm-hmm. necessarily. We just talk about technology generally. We talk about the kinds of products we've been enjoying using, like Twitter and Flickr, and we just have good conversations. And these are people I actually want to be friends with and just enjoy their company. So it makes working with them a lot more pleasant, and it makes coming to work day to day more pleasant as well.
Mm-hmm. More fun. So I'm looking around your office. It's really cute the way you have decorated it. A couple of interesting things I have to point out is a little bottle of tequila, of course.
Nice.
A token bottle. I have not bought like Costco size quantities of
airplane size
tequila shots, I promise.
And your little squeezer thing, what do you call that?
This guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the reason it's sitting over here is if you put that on the corner of your desk, every Joe Schmo who walks through the door will play with it.
Yeah, and that's like sticking your hand into the candy bowl
and you
leaving
gotta
germs
wonder.
All over
gotta
it.
Wonder.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Gotta wonder. But the thing that I love the most is her whiteboard. Permanently retired phrases and terminology. I was looking at it and laughing. Let's see, what are some good ones? No hire. What else? Let's take this offline. Let's leverage something.
Nice.
Yeah, this board has a very nice summary of... all the daily jargon.
Irregardless.
Irregardless.
I'm not a designer, but perform it. But here are the all too rare phrases. I'm sorry, you are right. I don't know, I was wrong. Bless you. That's really cute. What do you do? Like every time you hear something that you can't stand anymore, you put it up there?
Exactly. This was like my manager and my peer. We just started this list, frankly. Don't tell my manager, but this is 80% of the stuff that he talks about. So, so we called him on it and started the list. And now people stop by, and then they email me later, and they say, you have to add this to the board. I'm like, okay, I'll write it up.
That's hilarious.
That's great. Orthogonal.
Yeah. Orthogonal. Personal favorite as well.
The perfect storm.
What else? What about, I guess that one's fine.
I like anywho. I say anywho a lot.
Anywho.
Sure.
I think anywho has come back around to being ironic again. So I think it's okay to use.
And there's this great cartoon in The New Yorker where it's a doctor giving, obviously, bad news to his patient. And he's saying, like, he has the chart in front of him. He's like, anywho, it's malignant.
Oh,
that's my favorite one ever. Anywho, you got cancer.
Nice.
So,
perfect.
Charles.
Well, no, this is great. Now, we got into the fact, just to cover this again, you didn't study computer science, math, or physics, or engineering. You have a successful career here at Microsoft, and you're not a developer. So I think that's an important point.
And there's a home for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I definitely consider myself fortunate, because I think I'm totally at a disadvantage that I didn't go to school for this stuff. So I think that in order to really...
But are you really?
I mean, certainly, probably my interest in design might not have been as strong had I studied engineering in college, or or my communication skills might not be as strong. But I think it's important to just be curious generally and have a deep interest in technology as a consumer, and that's a good foundation. You can start a PM career on that.
Absolutely.
You did choose the name Jasmine. Well, I'm looking at your patent.
I did.
What is,
so,
first of all, she has a patent. We have to talk about that.
Well, it's actually for an icon. So I helped with the developing a folder share icon.
But what's that name on there?
So Sung Hyun's actually my legal name. And my mom chose an American nickname for me as well. For the longest time, I railed against it and wished that I were legally Jasmine, but now I'm okay with that. Sung Hyun is my first name.
It's cool.
It's unique.
Yeah. I've also got a bunch of wind-up toys.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah, it started as 4 toys, and then I left them on my desk, and my coworkers started just adding to this collection.
Mm-hmm.
And so on a weekly basis, almost, I feel like I'm getting a new wind-up toy, which is so, so sweet and nice.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, thank you.
I like
you.
The toy sushi, too.
I like
That's
the flip-flop.
The walking sushi is fantastic.
It's amazing.
I really like
it's
that.
It's walking
Wait,
sushi.
Can we see it?
Let's watch it walk.
Absolutely. This one, my dev lead gave this. My dev lead actually has given me 3 of these, and the walking sushi is amazing.
Oh, my God.
It's like he's walking off your plate. It's so
cool. Don't eat me. That's hilarious.
Excellent.
We should get that for Steve Cellini, our boss. He loves sushi.
Absolutely.
All right. Are you good? Thank you.
That was
great.
You're so articulate.
Great to meet you.
Yes.
Nice meeting you as well.